3 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. And I want to start with verse 2. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. But I want to talk to you today about walking in victory. Somebody say walking in victory. See, here's what happens. We get born again. Boom, we're in the family of God. How many know God promises us eternal life? Now, how many know that's a good promise? How many know that when you get born again, you're going to heaven? Can somebody say amen? Amen? And that's a great promise. And that's a wonderful thing. We thank God for it. We thank God because of what Christ did on the cross, that his blood washes away our sin. He takes our sin on him. And now, you know what? We are his righteousness. Wow, that's a good deal, is it not? And if that's all we got, how many know that would be a good thing? How many know that would still be a good thing? But the Bible says in the Old Testament not to forget all his benefits. Everybody say all his benefits. So the reality is there are people in the body of Christ, maybe you, to some extent today, and even though you're born again, even though you're going to heaven, even though you know that you are going to be with God forever, your life down here is jacked up. And you're going through depression. You may be bound to lust. You may be just struggling with anger. Maybe you're struggling with unforgiveness. There's a lot of issues, listen to me, that Christians have that God has already taken care of. You say, well, Pastor, then what's the problem? If he's already taken care of it, then how come I still seem defeated? How come I still seem angry? How come I still seem embittered? How come I can't rub two nickels together? Because one of the things that God has also provided for us is that we could be able that God has promised to take care of us financially. And nowadays, there's a lot of pushback on that. Like, that's not spiritual. Oh, my goodness, you'd have to throw away huge chunks of the New Testament to believe that. Because God has promised to take care of us. And one of the ways he promised to take care of us is that our provision, our needs would be taken care of. Amen. And we're going to get to the solution in a minute. Everybody say, just a minute. We're going to get to the solution in a minute. But first, I want to establish this. And I can take a long time establishing it. But I've only got a little bit of time to establish it because I want to move on. But this is a great scripture that we can see the reality. The Bible says, beloved, this is talking about people that are in the family of God. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, look what it says, because there's certain words that freak people out. Can I be honest with somebody? This word prosperity freaks people out. It's been thrown around, and the one side, you know what, thinks it's a bad word. The other side thinks it's a good word. It's just a word. Amen? Amen. Can we get over it a little bit? Yeah. It's just a word. But that word means something. And this word is in our Bible, and it says, and what it means, the biblical understanding of prosperous is that you would be without lack. Wow, that's a good word, is it not? God says, my will is that you would be without lack. Jesus is a perfect example of this. He's walking on the earth, and he doesn't lack in any way. Matter of fact, and when people who do lack in any way, he provides for them. That's a picture of God. And notice, he says, notice the words. How many know the words in the Bible are important? Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things. Let's say those three words with me. In all things. Can I tell you what in all things means when you look it up in the Greek? Can I tell you what it means? Here's what it means. It's deep. It means in every single area of your life. In other words, it means in all things. And then just so there's no misunderstanding on this, how many know God knows that sometimes we just automatically say, well, all things, but you know what? Everybody understands, you know what? Everybody, you know, experiences sickness and disease. We can't be free of sickness and disease. Well, look at what the Bible says. And in all things, and be in health. Oh, yes, hallelujah. It's talking about spiritual health. No, can I tell you what? That's not talking about spiritual health. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about being healthy in your body. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, the truth is, I don't have time, but I could spend a lot of time backing this up with verse after verse after verse after verse. Because, you know what? We just quoted it when we did the bread and the cup. Peter says the same thing. Peter says, you know what? That by his stripes we were healed. John says that we be in health. Amen? And we could go on and on. Jesus, here, y'all believe Jesus, right? Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick. You know what Jesus means by sick? He means people. Have you ever felt sick? That's what he means. Hello? That's what he means. And it's so clear if you look at it and break it down what he's talking about. Well, why do some people on the radio say, no, that's just talking about spiritual health? Here's why. Because that's all they can see. That's how they've been taught, and they can't see any other thing. The Old Testament says, don't forget all its benefits. You know what? Who, you know what? Takes away your sin and, everybody say and, heals all your diseases. You know what diseases means there? Dis-ease. That's what it means. And so I can't just skip over this, because if I don't set a foundation that you understand the biblical understanding of this, then you walk away and just think, well, you know what? Yes, God has delivered me and I can go to heaven. Yes, you can go to heaven. But I want to talk today about you living here on this earth in victory. Not in depression, not in anger, not in bitterness, not in frustration, not in poverty, not in any of that stuff. But that you walk and understand there's a place of victory that God has for us. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? So, but Pastor, how does that happen? Or why are people, that's a better way to say it, why are people walking in those areas? Why are they walking in bitterness? Why are they walking in unforgiveness? Why are they walking in frustration if God's provided that for us? Well, the Bible makes it clear and tells us what's really going on and what the answers are. Guys in the back, you need to flow with me. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll start with verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. Man, what is this guy's problem? Is this guy a half glass, half full guy or what? Do you see this? Go back. True, noble, just, pure, lovely, good, report. See, he's saying, here are all these things, and none of them are negative. And here's what I want you to do. Next verse. If there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Everybody say, meditate on these things. let me give you another, a couple of other versions that that are helpful for us to understand what he's saying. One version says, one version says meditate. One version says think. One version says dwell. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. One version says exercise yourself in these things. One version says keep your thoughts on wonderful and right and desirable praise. One verse says don't ever stop thinking about what is truly worthwhile and worthy of praise. One version says fill your minds with the things that are good. Fill your minds with the things that are good, that fill your minds with the things that are true. See, how come we're not walking in the area of victory that we could be walking? I'm not talking about once we get to heaven. I'm talking about here on this earth. What's the issue? Well, can I tell you what the issue? The issue is right here. We're meditating on the wrong things. We're meditating on the wrong things. See, if I ask you today, you know what, how many of you, getting hungry? Raise your hand if you're getting hungry. Okay, so what do you want for lunch, Lydia? What do you want for lunch? Fish sandwich, okay. You know why there's a highly likelihood that she's going to have a fish sandwich today? You know why? Because she thought, could you see her thinking when I asked her? She was thinking, oh, okay. Right? And then she thought, hey, a fish sandwich. I think why I'm a fish sandwich. You know why there's a high likelihood that she's going to have a fish sandwich? You know why? Because she thought, I'm going to have a fish sandwich. And then the next thought is, yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to have a fish sandwich. Yeah. Who else is hungry today? Raise your hand if you're hungry. What do you want today for lunch? Steak Corral. Don't even mess around what I'm talking about. Let's get a steak, man. That's what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so why? Because she thought about that. She thought, you know what? I don't want to. And what she thought, I don't want a fish sandwich. I want a steak, okay? Here's what I'm saying. I could keep on going, but you understand. You know what you're going to eat today? You're going to eat today what you think about eating. Because your actions follow your thoughts. Everybody say your actions follow your thoughts. So the issue is that when you think the wrong things, that's why Paul says, ultimately, finally, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to get your mind on the things that are praiseworthy, the things that are true, the things that are pure, the things that are right, the things that are righteous. That's what you need to think about. And if you think about those things, I'm telling you what, your life, I'm telling you, every single one of us, our lives can change drastically today by this message. Drastically. Okay? But we have to walk in humility and make a decision that we're going to think the way God thinks. Can I have you tell God thinks? God thinks these ways. He thinks of praiseworthy things. He thinks of true things. He thinks of righteous things. How many know God thinks right all the time? And when we, let me prove it to you. Have you ever done something stupid? Raise your hand if you've done something stupid, okay? Okay, that's all your hands ought to be up, okay? Some of you need to put two hands up, okay? Right? Okay, so all of us have done something stupid. And have you ever done something stupid, and when you did it, you were like, man, I don't know what I was thinking. Who's ever said that? And you, I know what you were thinking. You were, I'm not trying to, this is going to get into like negative, but I still love you. But I know what you're thinking. You were thinking stupid. Could somebody raise their hand or shake your hand and say yes? See, can I tell you why you do stupid? You do stupid because you think stupid. That's the truth. Listen, I didn't say you weren't intelligent. I just said, and when I'm talking about stupid, I mean, when you think things that are different than God says in his word, that's foolishness. How many know that is foolish thinking? That is absolutely foolishness. And so the Bible says, here, okay, guys, finally, let me tell you what, how you can live a victorious life now. How many want to live a victorious life now? Man, I do. But in order to do that, the Bible's real clear and tells me what I have to do. See, we all have strongholds in our lives. Strongholds are a mental fortress that the devil uses to protect his place to control our lives. Can I tell you what? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants you miserable. Yes, maybe you're going to heaven, but he wants you miserable now. He wants you frustrated. He wants you, you know what? He wants you aggravated. He wants you irritated. He wants you upset. He wants you depressed. And he is able to build those strongholds. You know what most of our problem is? Most of our problem is we were raised with dysfunctional parents. Did I say most of us? Oh, that's the wrong word. All of us, amen? How many recognize, even if we had good parents, they were still messed up? How many raise your hand and say that's true? So the issue is that we've got to change how we think, because if we change how we think, everything else changes. You don't have a food issue. How you think about food is your issue. You have wrong thinking about food. Amen? Hello, someone. Your boyfriend isn't the problem. Your lack of understanding of God's provision is the problem. So, Pastor, what does that have to do with each other? Well, you're going out with that guy. You have no business going out with that guy. Why are you going out with that guy? Because in your mind you think that God isn't going to provide to you, that Prince Charming is never going to come along. And after all, you're already 33. Right? And so you get fearful and you get, it's not, listen. Do you understand? See, the issues are thinking issues. The issue isn't we do wrong because we think wrong. Here's the good news today. Get ready to say amen. We'll do right when we start thinking right. Amen. Does that make sense? And I don't mean kind of right. I mean good. There is a good, abundant life that God has for all of us. But we can't start doing right until we start thinking right. Amen. You are only as free as your mind is free. You're only as free as your mind is free. And understand, how does Satan come against men? How does Satan come against men? How does Satan come against Eve? He came against Eve not with an explosion, not with a bomb, not with gunfire. He came to Eve with a lie. That's how he came to her, and that's how he got them in bondage, and that's how he gets us in bondage. Now, we can talk a lot about where we've been, but let's talk about where we need to go today. Can you say amen? So, the problem or the solution is us changing how we think. And particularly, the Bible says we need to meditate on what's praiseworthy. We need to meditate on what is true. Everybody say, what is true? And what is true? What's true is what the Bible says. How many know God's word is perfect? And so what we need to do is we need to start renewing our mind according to the word of God. Guys in the back, turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and starting, I want to start with verse 32 first. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. In whatever area it is. If you know the truth about relationships, you're going to be free to break up with that guy or that woman that you know already you need to break up. Why? Because you know he is toxic. She is toxic. You have no business going out with her. You have no business going out with him. You know what? But you're going to be set free when you start understanding the truth. How many know God has a lot to say about relationships in the Bible? Some of you, you're in the financial mess that you're in, not because you don't have a money problem. You think about money wrong. Oh, it's getting real quiet now. Amen. And so when you start to understand the purpose of money according to the word, when you start to understand the truth, then you're going to be free in that area. And it will only, listen, it for many of you, it is only a matter of time before you get completely out of debt. But some of you, you don't think that way. You have been in debt for such a long time that you have relegated yourself that, you know what, credit card debt is just part of life. Man, isn't that what the credit card company, isn't that the lie that they want you to believe? Absolutely. Here, you want me to prove it to you? Get a credit card, go out and just spend $200 on that credit card, and when the bill comes, you know how much the minimum payment will be? Nothing. You know why it will be nothing? Come on. Somebody smart tell me why the payment, you spent $200, you get that first bill, and it says right on your, they're like, here's how much you need to pay this month. Nothing. Here's why. Because they looked at you and they said, man, we just want to do you a favor this month. How about that is not the reason? Bingo. Because they know, I don't know that they know this is scriptural, but they know the borrower is slave to the lender. They don't want you to get out of debt. They want you to go, woo. They want you to feel. Everybody say feel. I wish I had a credit card. They want you to go, woo. Man, I'm going to spend $200 more this month. And they want you to go out and spend $200 more. Now you'll be in debt $400. And now, you know what? They're going to put the stupid $10 payment. You know what I mean? Take you only 40 months to pay the thing off. Think about it. Why would they do that? Because they want you to do what? Come on, get your credit card out. Woo! And you're going to put another $200. No, you're not going to put $200. It was so good spending $200. And say, no, duh, you spend $200. And in your reality, you have $200 worth of merchandise. Now you have $400 worth of merchandise. And how much did it cost you? Somebody say $10. Right? In real time, isn't that what happened? $400 worth of merchandise, and it only cost you $10. Somebody say, woo! Somebody say, they're setting me up. Because now you're going to spend, and you know what? You're going to spend $400. Now you're $800 in debt, and now your payment went up. Whoa, $12. Now you have to pay $12 a month. My numbers might not be perfect, but they're pretty close. Why? Because I know their goal. Their goal isn't to get you stuff for free. Their goal is to get you so far in debt that your extra money is their extra money. That the borrower is subject to the lender. Amen? Well, why would you do that? Because you don't understand what the Bible says. How many know the Bible tells you? The truth is, they ain't giving you nothing for free. They're going to get their 200, they're going to get their 400, and they're going to get their 800. But they're not going to get their 200 and 400 and 800. They're going to get their 250, they're going to get their 475, and they're going to get their 800, they're going to get their 895. Do you understand? They're not, exactly. And they're not trying to be nice to you. They're manipulative. And the truth will set you free. But how many know sometimes that, because here's what happens. There's a understanding that you have, whatever it is, whether it's food, whether it's finance, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's depression, whatever the issue is. There's understanding that you have. And it's usually negative. It's usually, I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm never going to get that job. I'm never going to own that business. I'll never own that house. I'll never, you know what, I'm always going to be mad, you know what, at my ex. I'm always going to be ticked off. They upset me. That's how I am. For many of you, the doctor has told you something and you just accept it as that's how it is. It'll never change. It's how you think. Lydia, what did you want to eat? See? It ain't changing. Right? How many know we can get embedded? And for many of us, these concepts were learned with this junk kind of thinking was learned over a long period of time. We saw our parents model it. Hello. I mean, I thank God for my dad. He was so glass half full kind of guy that rubbed off on me, thank God. But for many of us, we didn't have parents like my dad. We had parents that were kind of tend to be negative, and how many know, even in our lifetime, even in our adult life, we have things that happen and we get disappointed and we get heartbroken and things happen to us and we start to have this cynical negative, and God says, stop it. I'm going to set you free, but I can only set you free according to what you know and your willingness. Watch this. Go up to the verse before this. I love looking at verse before and verse after, but today we'll just look at the verse 4. And Jesus said to the Jews who believed him. Okay, great, you believe in me. You're a Christian, you believe in me, but watch this. If you abide in my words, you are my disciples. And then he says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This word abide, you know what it means? It means to live. So what we have to do is we have to get the mind of Christ. So we're thinking the way God thinks in every area, as far as food, as far as finance, as far as forgiveness, as far as, you know what, depression, as far as any of these areas that we struggle with. Does anybody struggle in any area? Raise your hand if you're struggling in any area. If your hand's not up, you struggle in telling the truth, and that's an issue, okay? Amen. We all struggle in areas, but here's what I'm saying. If we can change, and I'm going to get to the end of the sermon right now. I'll go back to it. If you can get a scripture, one of the reasons why I want you to purchase this book today is in the back of this book. First of all, this book is excellent. It will help you a lot. But in this back of the book is an index with scriptures for all kinds of areas. Trust, immorality, worry, anxiety, fear, anger, unforgiveness, discouragement, condemnation, integrity, marriage problems, pride, financial issues. Verses on all of these things. See, Jesus says, you know what? If you know the truth will set you free. But My word has got to abide in you. It's got to live in you. In other words, you've got to be, if here's what will happen. If you start thinking the way I think and it becomes natural to you. How many ever thought you're working through an area and your first tendency is to think wrong. And then you think, oh no, I could do it this way. Hello. The abiding comes when you have meditated the word day and night. Here's what Joshua 1:8 says. Abide in the word, meditate on the word day and night, that you might observe to do all that's written in the word. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You say, Pastor, how can the Bible say, then I will make my way prosperous, and I will have good success? Here's why. Because God intends for you to be prosperous and have good success. And if you will change how you think, watch, meditate it. Guys, go in the back. I mean, go back there to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You know what meditate means? In the Hebrew, it means murmur. It means murmur. It means you're saying something over and over. So you go into the doctor, you know what he tells you? This is the diagnosis. He throws that x-ray up here and he says, see, this is, see that, and that's why. And you shake your head like yes, but you don't even know. You've never seen that before. It looks all blurry anyway, right? But you're shaking your head. Watch this. You're coming in agreement. Follow this. You're coming in agreement with what he sees. Amen. And you don't even know this guy. Amen. He just walks in with a white coat. Amen. Right? Says doctor something something whatever. And you're like, oh, he said, and you're going home. You know what? You don't know. No, he said, and he's right, because it's kind of feeling. Matter of fact, after he said it, even I felt worse when I went home. No doubt, amen. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you need to meditate what God says about you. And you need to meditate on it day and night. How many know this is interesting? How many know when it's not day when it is? Night. How many know when it's not night when it is? How many know what day and night means? How many know there's no time left when you got day and night? It's all the time. All the time you got to meditate. You got to say, no, God says this. God says this. God says, no, God says this. Yeah, but that guy, he asked me out, and he's got, you know, some hair, and he's got a job. I mean, hair and a job. Man, I got to date this guy, right? Right? See, that's what people think, and that's what your friends will tell you. That's what your neighbors, some of your parents will even tell you, man, you should go out with him. He keeps on asking you out. Yeah, but that pastor at the church said, you know what, the Bible said to not be unevenly yoked with an unbeliever. Yeah, well, that crazy pastor, what does he know? He just, you know what, I know, you know, you need to go out with that guy. Did I tell you he's got a job? Right? And we start thinking, you know what, the way the world thinks, and we start receiving what the world, and you know what's going to happen? And I just guarantee you, you know what? Why are you going to have a fish sandwich? Because she's thinking she wants a fish sandwich. Why is she going to have a steak? Because she's thinking she wants a steak. And you allow these people to influence your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You allow these people to influence your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm stalling, but I'm doing more than stalling, because I want you to think about what the Bible says. You allow these people to influence your life. that you allow these people to speak into your life. Guys in the back, go to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Okay, all, guys, look at this up here on the screen. Blesses the man. Everybody say, blesses the man. See, you want to be blessed? Watch this. Bless the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful. Now, no. Go back. What is left? Walks, stands, sits. Are you catching this? This guy, he's not going to walk by these people who don't know what they're talking about. He's not going to stand by these guys who don't know what they're talking about. And he's not going to sit by these people who don't know what they're talking about. Why? Because here's what he knows. Their words will infect me. You know what? Jesus said it like this. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. Everybody say, blesses that guy. Now, what is that? That's what he doesn't do. Next verse. Look what he does do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he, oh. He meditates. What does he meditate on it? Day and night. He meditates on it day and night. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The warfare that our warfare is different. Watch this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Three things very, very quickly about these weapons. These weapons, one, are mighty. Everybody say mighty. They're mighty in God. They're mighty in God. Everybody say in God. So they're mighty. Number C, they're supernatural. They're the weapons that we've been given, but they're his weapons. They're mighty in God. Watch this. And they're strategic for the pulling down of strongholds. If you are going to live a victorious life, here's what has to happen in your mind. You've got to pull down these strongholds. If you're going to start dating the right guys, you got to pull down that stronghold. If you're going to start dating the right women, you have to pull down that stronghold of wrong thinking. If you're going to start to eat in ways that are going to be healthy for your body, you got to pull down those strongholds. Yeah, I didn't get a lot of amens on that one. Yeah. Because those are strongholds. You know what? If you're going to live a life where you're not depressed, you've got to start changing how you think towards life in general. You have to stop thinking pessimistically and thinking optimistically. Whatever is good, whatever is honorable, whatever is praiseworthy. Say, but Pastor, you don't understand my life. In my life, there's almost nothing that's praiseworthy. In my life, there's almost nothing that's good. Well, I notice, you know what? Almost nothing. Everybody say almost nothing. How many know almost nothing is better than nothing? See, I don't care if you got all kinds, I don't care if this is going wrong and this is going wrong and this is going wrong and this is going wrong, and you come home and your dog still waddles his tail and acts like he's happy that you're home. How many know you got one thing? Right? How many got a dog that'll love you when you get home? Okay, then you got one thing. Hey, that's your one thing already. How many know? I guarantee you, for those of you who put your hand up, you got other things besides that one thing. See, but I guarantee you. See, you can look at the same person, you know what, can look at their life in everything that's bad. And you can sit there and tell me everything that's bad. Well, here, let me ask you this. How's that working for you? Meditating on it and thinking about it and speaking it and saying it. And all it's, you know what it's doing? It's just creating a bigger stronghold. Amen? Man, I do what I'm never going to do. Man. And we get our emotions in it and we get into this, don't we not? Oh, man, I can't ever forgive that person. Okay, well, you know what? That's your choice. Because you can forgive whoever you want to forgive. Amen? And you better watch it. Because the Bible says, you know what? That as long as that person keeps on asking you for forgiveness, well, I'll tell you what, but they're not sincere. Oh, let's park here for a minute. They're not sincere. You can't even judge your own heart. And you're going to judge their heart? Our weapons, they're mighty. They're supernatural and they're strategic. Why? To pull down these strongholds. How many know these strongholds have to be pulled down? How many know these strongholds have to be pulled down? If they're not pulled down, you're going to be in 5 years, you're going to be in the same mess. Why? Because you're thinking the same way. I want a fish sandwich. I want a steak. I don't want to forgive. They make me so mad. It'll never happen. I'll never get a good job. I'll never get out of debt. I just got to learn to live with this pain because that's what the doctor said. Well, that's not what Dr. Jesus says. And that's not what he says about your depression. And that's not what he says about your anger. And that's not what he says about a lot of things. But when the Bible says you can't let the sun set on your anger, you know what the Bible's saying? It's not saying you got, you know what, however late. Thank God, you know, it's daylight savings so I can be mad at my friend for, you know, 4 more hours. That's not what God is saying. Here's what God is saying. You better not go to sleep angry at that person. That's what he's saying. You better not do that. Why? Because here's what happens. Because, you know what? You'll never nurture that relationship. Can I tell you about relationships? Relationships are interesting because any relationship that you have, except your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're dealing with imperfect people. Is that all right? So, you know what? And so you got two people who are messed up. You're messed up, and the person you have a relationship messed up. You're both messed up. You both need to walk in forgiveness to each other all the time. Amen. But what does that take? It takes you renewing your mind according to what God said. What did God say? God said, don't let the sun set on your anger. Here. Oh, man. Guys in the back, 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse 3. Here's what it says. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Oh, I love God so much. Then keep his commandments, because that's how the Bible defines love. But watch the second part. And his commandments are not burdensome. When God is telling you to forgive, he's not telling you to forgive if you hold your anger, if you hold a grudge, if you hold that bitterness. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to jack yourself up. If God is speaking to you and saying, you know what, you need to become, here, let me give you an area. I'm giving you tough areas that people have struggled with. I'll give you a real tough area. Finances. Everybody say finances. See, people, I hear it all the time. You know what, Pastor? If you need to just stop talking about money. You talk about money too much. Here, can I give you a proof that I don't talk about money too much? Oh, it got real quiet. Can I give you proof that I don't talk about money too much? Shayla, who's the financial guy? Bald guy. Ramsey. David Ramsey, I just heard this the other day, says less than 5% of people who go to church tithe. Less than 5%. Less than 5% tithe. See, watch this. Let me tell you what the Word of God is so clear. So clear in the Word of God that we need to be people that are generous. We need to be people. How many know this is godly? We need to not be selfish. We need to be generous. Okay. And yet, there are pastors who will never, ever bring up tithes and offerings, ever. You can go to their church every single week, and they'll never say anything about it. They'll never say anything about it. Well, why do you say something about it? Here's why. Because less than 5%. Less than 5%. Actually, it's less than 4%. If what's less than 4%? Help me out here. If less than 4% are tithing, how many people aren't tithing? Some of you mathematical geniuses tell me. How much, Marilyn? 96%. Do you think the pastor should talk about giving at this point? It's like, when are we going to recognize? We're almost to no percent. Could it be that we are the problem? Oh, you come to me with a headache, but I never address your headache. I never address the symptoms. What kind of doctor is that? You know, doctor, I have a foot problem. Oh, I don't want to talk about your foot problem because it's a problem. How many know that's not a good doctor to go to? How many know, and that's what God does. God confronts us where we're at. Pastor, these aren't, can't you come up with a happier sermon than this? Guys, this is a happy sermon. Because I'm telling you, his commandments are not burdensome. Don't take this word out. His commandments are not burdensome. You know what his commandments are? You shall know the truth. And if you're walking in the truth, if you abide in my word, if that becomes who you are. You know why Tamara and I tithe? Because the Bible tells us to tithe. You know why Tamara and I give? Because the Bible tells us to give above the tithe. That's what the Bible says. So that's what we do. And that has, listen, trust me, that has served us well for a long, 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 long time. I've got so many stories I could tell you of God supernaturally providing for Tamara and I. Well, God just provides for you because you're a pastor. No, he doesn't. He provides for me because, you know what? I'm a tither and I'm a giver. And his commandments are not burdensome. They are freeing. And whatever your issue is, and they're issues of things that concern you and things that, you know, here, let me help you understand. How many of you think you're right? Raise your hand if you think, not all the time, but almost all the time. Raise your hand if you think you're right almost all the time. Okay, let's try it again. Raise your hands if you think you're most of the time you're right. Raise your hand if you think you, okay, come on. That's a little bit better, but I think all of us think I'm right most of the time, don't you? No, I just think I'm wrong all the time. No, you don't. You think you're right all the time. That's why you think. And that's how we all think. Hello? Come on. But when we're confronted, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll wind up with this. Look at next verse. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. They're strategic. They're going to get rid of your mess. But here's how they happen. Watch this. Next verse. casting down arguments. When do the arguments happen? Here's where the arguments happen. The arguments happen with how you think, and then you come to church or you read your Bible and you're confronted with the truth. How you think versus how God thinks. Arguments happen. Then the arguments start. And what you have to do is you have to cast, watch this, you have to cast down those arguments. Because those arguments are telling you, well, yeah, I know the Bible says, but you don't, but, I know God, that's how Satan works. I know God said this, but let me tell you why he said this. He said this because he is trying to keep something, this is the argument for Eve. He's trying to keep something from you, right? You know better than God. When it comes down to it, you're smarter than God. If you started to give, you'd be jacked up. If you started to forgive, how many know we like to hold grudges? Oh. We like to go over, oh, they made me so mad. They did this, and we start to justify our positioning of why we're justified to keep our bitterness. They're arguments, and they exalt themselves against what the Bible says to forgive, or whatever the issue is, whatever God is asking you to do. Casting down these arguments. You have to cast them down. And they exalt themselves against the knowledge of the Word of God. They exalt themselves against the knowledge of the Word of God. They say, no, but you know better. But think about it. You know, go over it. Think about it. And you start to make justifications. And you've exalted your thoughts above God's thoughts. And the Bible says what you have to do is you have to take those thoughts and put them down. In the Greek, it's literally put it to a spear point. Put that stupid way of thinking, recognize what it is, it's a stupid way of thinking, and kill it. Cast it down, spear point it, kill it. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring how many thoughts? Every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. That obedience means literally to put it under Christ. Christ said this. The argument is this. I'm putting it under God. There's no place for it. Now, you show me someone. Watch this. You show me. Is that, could somebody say, but Pastor, that's tough. I'd say it's tough. But let me say this. There's one thing that's tougher than that. It's you keeping your thoughts. You keeping your arguments. And that's why we don't walk in the victory that we could walk in. Because let me tell you what. God wants you to be free. And any area that you will receive his truth in. Go back to the scripture in John. John chapter 8. No, not 1 John. John chapter 8. Yeah. Any area that you will know the truth. That's why I want you to get this book. I want you to get this book because not only do I want you to read this book, but I want you to have the scriptures at the end. I want you to understand when you're going through depression that there's verses that you can go to. And what do you need? You need ammunition. Everybody say ammunition. Ammunition. Everybody say ammunition. Ammunition. You know, how many know, remember back in the day it was, what was that guy? And he was trying to get the Ark of the Covenant and he, Indiana Jones. Okay. Remember that Indiana Jones, great scene, and this guy, and he's running from these bad guys, and he's running, and he gets in this corridor, and this big samurai fighter comes out, and he's got this big sword, and he goes, And you're all thinking, oh, he's, you know, what was the guy's name again? Indiana Jones. Oh, Indiana Jones. He's jacked up. And Indiana Jones, remember the scene? And he just looks at him, pulls out his gun, and goes, pow. Remember this? He's like, okay, listen. That is a great illustration. All your old thoughts are that samurai guy. And all you need is the Word of God, because the Word of God is powerful. It's so powerful. And it, you know what it does? It's able to get through all the junk, all your, how many know we con ourselves all the time? All the conning that we do, it's able to pierce through that bone in the mire, and it's able to judge your heart and tell you where you really are at. Hello. What do you, how many know you got to have some bullets in your gun? What are the bullets? The bullets are the Word of God. All right, we're going to do one last thing and we'll end. So look at Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Yes, hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about, Pastor. See, man, I got all kinds of, I got stuff going on here and here, and so, man, it's so messed up. Oh my goodness. Keep on reading. See? But the Lord, everybody say, but the Lord, delivers him. Who? This guy that has all this stuff going on. Him out of how many of them? All. How many know that would be a good scripture for you to memorize? Why? Because you're like, ah, I got this going on, I got this going on, I got this going on. Yeah, they're all negative. But many of the affliction. I might be afflicted in many ways, but let me tell you what's going to happen. The Lord himself is going to deliver me out of them all. Amen. How does somebody walk who's got all kinds of afflictions on him that doesn't understand that the Lord is going to deliver you? How does that person walk? How does somebody walk who knows that the Lord's going to deliver him out of all his afflictions? Completely different. You got a 1972 Pinto. The air doesn't work. You know what? The transmission is jacked up. It barely gets you here. But somebody, you know what? But Bill Gates saw you out in the street, saw you in your sorry Pinto, and he said, you know what? I just got to have a good day. I am writing you a check. Matter of fact, I'm going to call, get the guy on the cell phone right away. He calls Mercedes-Benz dealer in Newport Beach. You know what? You know the commercial, okay? He calls that guy, says, hey, this guy, what's your name? Oh, Pastor Drew. Yeah, Pastor Drew's coming down. And you know what? I'm going to pray that he'll get down there to you. But he's coming down any car he wants. And you put it on my bill, I'm going to take care of it. How are you driving in that Pinto? Amen? How many know you don't care, amen? That thing gets a flat on the 605. You're like, whoa, you know what? You're so happy changing the lug bolts and putting it all together. You don't care. Everybody's looking at you crazy because it's poofing and puffing, and you know what? You don't care. You're smiling. It breaks down three blocks before the dealership, and you're smiling and you're pushing it. You're smiling. Why? Because it don't make any difference, many of the afflictions, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Now, here's what I'm saying. Do you see what I'm talking about as far as how to change your life? And listen, this isn't some happy little bumper. This isn't for a bumper sticker. Can I tell you what? This is the truth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That's the truth. See, if you understand, you know what? It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. You know what? No weapon. Can somebody help me finish this? No weapon formed against me shall what? Shall prosper. So who cares? Do you understand? You see, you need to start to have your gun loaded. And when that samurai comes out, see, exactly. Who's laughing now, Jackson? See, what am I doing? I'm giving you a practical way to stop being in your depression. Get out of your sickness. Get out of your poverty mentality. Stop thinking. No, let me tell you what. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. That's what he's going to do. I don't have it ready, but I'll have it next week. But you know what? This is filled, God's promises for your every need. This is filled with promises in the Word of God. Has anybody struggled in any areas in your life, and you're just sitting there and you're just starting to worry and you start to think, no, you need to load your gun, Jackson. Amen? You know what? You ever see these movies and before they're going to go out to warfare, they're loading their guns and they're you know what, and they got, you know, they strap all this stuff. You know what, it's all, you know, like, man, you really mess with that guy. Yeah, he's ready to go. You know who that was? That was who Jesus was. And when he fought with Satan, you know what, Satan was like, oh, this, and he said, no, it's written. I know the truth. I don't have to live. For some of you, you've been listening to the lies too long. And today is going to be the first day of the rest of your life that you walk out of here and say, you know what? I've been just way too a glass half empty kind of guy. And I'm not asking you to fill your thoughts with good thoughts. I'm asking you to fill your thoughts with God thoughts. If you say, Pastor, I think you've been talking to me. I want to pray with you, but I want you to raise your hand and just say and just confess and say, Pastor, I want you to pray because I'm just been too negative. I just haven't recognized, I just have allowed myself to be in a mess and I shouldn't. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you all over. Who else? Father, you see the hands that are up. And Father, my hand's up. And I would ask you, I thank you that you are the helper. The Holy Spirit is the helper. So Holy Spirit, help us to load our gun with your word. Let God be true and every man a liar. The grass fades. The flower fades. The grass withers. But the word of God lasts forever. Here's what I want to tell you. There's nothing more real than the word of God. Father, help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.